Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, you and I both know, having done this for so long and having retired with so many couples now, that men and women don't always see it the same way.
Really? Completely different. There are different things that they look at. And one of the things that most people come to us about when they sit down is the financial side. And once we talk about that, or we actually ask them about, you know, what are you going to do in retirement, or what are your biggest fears in retirement? This is where it opens up the Pandora's box, my friend, and well, we get different answers.
And it's, I think it's really interesting, but it's also important to recognize the differences between partners because, you know, obviously if you make assumptions, we know how that often ends. And so just understanding that men and women see this differently, and there's some unique challenges that married women have in particular, and we've got a terrific guest to help us understand some of those things. Both men and women need to listen to this segment, dudes. You can't tune out because you got to understand there's some differences here.
Yes, absolutely.
We've got Dr. Dorian Mintzer. Now, she's a writer, teacher. She's a co-author of The Couple's Retirement Puzzle, 10 Must-Have Conversations for Creating an Amazing New Life Together. Dr. Mintzer, thank you for joining us on the show.
Oh, I'm pleased to be here. And what you've been saying is so true. It's such an important area. And men and women really do see things differently.
Yeah, truly. So let's start. Let's get right at it. So what do married women fear most in retirement in your experience, in your research?
Well, there are a few things, but one thing that becomes more and more apparent over the years, now that they're more dual career couples, is women don't want to live their husband's retirement dreams. Right. They want some of their own. So I think that's one important thing. They also don't want 24/7 with their partner. As much as they love them, as much as it's a good relationship, work generally provides time together and time apart, and that often works well. And so it's a real big adjustment if suddenly both people are home.
Can I share with you an experience that Faisal and I had with a client? This is a number of years ago now, but I think maybe demonstrates some of the differences and the problems we can create when we make assumptions, and maybe you can address it from the research perspective or whatnot. But we sat with a couple one time, and we were doing a retirement plan for them and talking about what retirement was like, and they were adamant that they had talked about it, and they both at some point said, we want to travel. We both love to travel. We're going to travel. We said, well, that's terrific. Tell me a little bit about Mrs. X. What kind of travel you want to do? Well, I want to go to New York. I'd love to spend some time shopping, that, or in L.A. and Rodeo Drive and, you know, this and that and the other thing. And then we said, Mr. X, what would you like to do? Well, I want to spend 2 weeks in the backcountry camping and fishing. So I said, you guys have really, you've talked about this travel thing, right?
Well, what's interesting about that story, though, is that they assume they're going to do it together.
Right.
And she's like, I'm going back backcountry. And he's like, I ain't going shopping either. So we've got a problem here, right?
So we'll let you run with that
all
for a
the
second.
Time. People yeah. are often not on the same page, and it's so important to talk about and clarify expectations. I think it's really helpful if each person can clarify what their vision is, and then you can talk together and see where it lies, where it doesn't. And the beauty is not everything has to be done together.
Yeah.
What research tells us is actually the healthiest relationships are when people aren't joined at the hip, when there's an interdependence rather than, you know, such total dependence that it feels like you have to, you know, do everything together. But that kind of scenario comes up a lot. The other thing that is often a worry, when you asked me before about worries that women have, it's not unusual that, and this is a stereotype, but often men's activities are with other people through work.
Yes.
And so a common fear is that, you know, if the husband isn't working anymore, they're going to be dependent on their wife for their social life.
Yes. Yep.
And the wife doesn't necessarily want to be the social secretary. She wants to continue doing the things she's been doing, whether it be working or volunteer work or time with friends. And wants desperately for the husband to make friends, but it's much harder for men. And I see this happen a lot. I mean, I know this segment's on women, not men, but it's often harder for men to make connections. Women make connections in the grocery store line.
Mm-hmm.
Men tend not to. So that's another big area.
Well, anecdotally, I would say, Faisal, our experience validates that. Again, I remember one of our retirement conferences early on when we separated the guys and the gals, and we kind of had the opportunity to hover around both, you know, areas and listen to what the women were talking about, what the men were talking about. And it was exactly what Dr. Mincer is talking about, right? Is the women were terrified that the men were going to be coming home. And, you know, I'm going out for coffee with the gals on this date, and we've been doing this for 20 years, and how do I tell him he's not invited? Like, he's not coming to this thing, right? That's not the gig.
Yeah, here. And some other things that came up, which are similar to the article in your research, too, on this was, you know, some of them are feeling, you know, guilty about wanting to take time apart. Some of these ladies are feeling that, you know, he may resent you for being in a different social circle than just revolving that social circle around the people who live in the same home as each other. And so there are issues here. And so what are some of the things that people can do as an exercise, a takeaway? What can they do to prevent this from happening or try to work on a conversation that they can have going forward?
Well, I think having a conversation is really important. And if you're not used to having conversations, it can feel daunting, but it doesn't have to. What I suggest for people is really thinking about using what are called I statements. I'm thinking about, I'm feeling, I want to, you know, make a list of what my vision is. I really would like you to make a list of things that are important, just as I mentioned before, and then let's kind of talk about it together. But I think trying to avoid you statements, trying to stick with the I statements, I'm thinking, I feel, I want to talk. You statements, even if it's not intended, like you never want to do what I want to do or things like that, you know, that ends up being perceived as blaming and shaming. And that doesn't get you off on a good start for a conversation. So I statements, avoiding you statements, and don't expect to have a long conversation if you, you know, have tended not to talk about things, but maybe to say, let's sit down for 5 minutes or 10 minutes tonight and just start talking about what are some of the things we each want to do when we're either not working or working in a different way. What are the things that will give us connection, engagement, and purpose and meaning? Those are, I think, the most important aspects for well-being. And I think talking about it together and talking about expectations, not just the specific things you want, but expectations, and I agree 100% with what you're saying, assumptions get people into hot water. And it's better not to assume. You could be right. You know, people have been together a long time. People say, you know, three words and I know what they're going to say. Maybe you do, but maybe you don't. It's important to hear it out and listen. But I think talking, knowing that really healthy relationships are when you can do things together and apart, it actually adds to the relationship because you have something else to bring to the relationship because you've maybe done something exciting without your partner. But expectations, not making assumptions, and really having these conversations. You have to think about creating your own vision and then try to create a shared vision. And the shared vision could be, you know, first we'll do this and then maybe next year we'll do that. You know, you want to try to open a we for the relationship. What's the win-win? You know, what's the way where it's sometimes your way, sometimes my way, but really trying to hear and listen and appreciate what you're hearing from each other, even if you don't agree. Sometimes you have to agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm. And I think that brings us to one of the clients that we met with, I'd say last year, we were discussing about what they want to do in retirement. They knew they wanted to retire, but their activities were going to be a tough thing. And they really couldn't agree on stuff or couldn't have that conversation. So, you know, Andrew and I stepped in, Dave, and we had a conversation about them building their own list. We call it a he list and a she list. Mm-hmm. And then we brought that together. Yeah. We actually put it on our whiteboard. And then we created that were some certain common stuff that they wanted to do. Yeah. We asked for 31 things they wanted to do in their retirement. Each. 31 each. Yeah, 31 is very difficult to put together. So we built a he list. We built a she list. And then we saw common themes or things that they wanted to do. We made that to become the we list. So we built a 24-month program where they do some he, some she, some we, and then away they go. And that kind of just built the whole program around it. So I thought that was an interesting way of doing it. So, you know, what are your thoughts in regards to actually writing stuff down, having those kind of conversations, Dorian?
I think that is a terrific idea. I'm sorry that this phone is ringing in the background here.
Okay.
I think that that's a terrific way to do it. I like that. You know, it's the same thing of the individual vision, that he list, the she list, the we list. And then, you know, what you suggested is beautiful. It's setting up, you know, over what you said, it was 24 months. You want to have, it's similar to a financial portfolio. You want kind of a life portfolio, and you want there can be time frames, and it needs to be flexible. You know, nothing's written in stone, because the reality is things can change. Finances can change, health can change, the relationships, your obligations to other people can change. So, you know, if you can come up with this list, I love the idea of the, you know, the 31 for each of them, and then the we and where it aligns, because there is going to be some alignment. And, you know, being able to, you know, have it be sometimes, you know, from the he list, sometimes from the she list, sometimes the we list. I mean, it really sets up a nice we, you know, win-win, yeah, kind of, yeah, you know, we're in this together kind of relationship. I think it's just a lovely way. I mean, it's a great model to use with people.
Dr. Mincer, we're going to have to leave it there. If anybody's interested in reaching you, because you do some coaching and speaking, consulting around this, and you've also co-authored The Couple's Retirement Puzzle, which is the 10 must-have conversations for creating an amazing new life together, how can they reach you or get a copy of this book?
Well, the book's available on Amazon, yep, and my email is dorian@dorianmincer.com, dorian@dorianmincer.com. And my website is revolutionizedretirement.com. And I just want to mention, on the fourth Tuesday of each month, I do have a free webinar where I interview experts around issues around second half of life. So I just would like to invite your listeners. Sign up always begins the week before, but they can learn about it if they go to my website at revolutionizedretirement.com.
Thank you for your time today. We appreciate it all.
Thanks. It was lovely talking to you. It sounds like you do great work with people. So thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, doctor. Okay, Faisal, we've got our next seminar coming up here. We should remind everybody, because we're going to talk about how to bring this to life.
And we'll be doing that on Tuesday, January 22nd, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine, Spirits, and Beer. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or go on our website at morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, and don't forget that you can access any of our past segments on morethanmoneyradio.com, or you can have them delivered directly to you every week by searching for More Than Money CHQR on Apple Podcasts or in your favorite podcast app. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR.
David Popowicz and Faisal Karmeli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowicz and Faisal Karmeli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.